you have really 6 hours for a game, 3 hours each person's on the clock. You have to take notations. It's a whole thing. There are hundreds of people in the hall, and you're sitting next to your team, everybody sweating bullets. So anyway, so after we had a round, our team went off to watch a movie and get some food in a nearby mall. So we went there, and there was a bunch of kids, and some of them were Jewish kids, but like, you know, from a more traditional school, weren't really observant of Torah and mitzvahs. And one guy's name was David Asher, really great guy. Don't you remember him, Rabbi Blumenthal from King David? And great guy. And he was going to go with the rest of the team and go eat in this treif restaurant after the movie. And I remember Rabbi Blumenthal said to him, he says, "Listen, David, if you just hold off eating there, I have a whole box of donuts in my room. We'll share them then." This was all of 9 years old at the time, I think it was, you know, and the Kirov and the bringing people close to Torah has not stopped then. It's only gone further. It is really a tremendous zechus. We have to watch one of the rising stars in the South, BRS West, which Rabbi Blumenthal has developed in the last few years, has more than doubled in size since he started. And there's a very obvious reason for that. Rabbi Blumenthal, thank you for taking the time for being here.
My dear friend, Rabbi Trump, thank you for that that wonderful eulogy. The follow-up to that story, just so that you know, is that I later traded him my rook for a bag of chips. That was the end of that mindset. But Baruch Hashem, it's such a tremendous honor and privilege to be here to learn a little bit together. I was hoping, I don't know what the chevra are interested in learning, but I was thinking a little bit. I've been learning a little bit of this with some of the guys in shul, to understand a little bit about what is going on in terms of Pirkei Avos lahalacha. Pirkei Avos lahalacha. So Pirkei Avos is, as you well know, it's this time of year everybody's learning Pirkei Avos. That's the minhag of most communities, is at least to pay homage to the fact in shul bulletins, right? This week's Perek of Pirkei Avos is Perek number 3. But what exactly Pirkei Avos is and what it is doing is not a simple question to answer, because Pirkei Avos is arguably the strangest of all the Masechtas. All the Masechtas, it is a fan favorite. Everybody enjoys learning Pirkei Avos, but it is possibly the strangest of all of the Masechtas, and we'll explain what that means in a moment. But the truth is, Pirkei Avos, as it famously begins, tells a story that is different from the story that we know from other places in Shas. So it begins with a stira, and we should note that from the outset, because the Mishnah begins, as everybody knows, Moshe kibbel Torah miSinai. Moshe got the Torah from Har Sinai. Masar Yeshua gave it to Yeshua. Yeshua Zakenim. Yeshua gave it to Zakenim. Zakenim gave it to the Neviim. V'Neviim Masrua LaAnshe Knesset Gadol. The Neviim gave it over to the Anshe Knesset Gadol. V'Heim Amru Shloisha Dvarim. And they said 3 things. So the first peculiarity that we should just note is, what about everybody else? Like, nobody else said anything? Moshe kibbel Torah miSinai. He didn't say anything. And Masar Yeshua, he gave it to Yeshua. Yeshua didn't say anything. Yeshua gave it to the Zakenim. The Zakenim didn't say anything. Right? It's only the Anshe Knesset Gadol that had stuff to say. Nobody else had anything else to say. That's a strange thing to note. The second thing that we should point out, and to this end, we'll just take a look at a Gemara. We'll take a look at this Gemara here. This Gemara is in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin says to us, Tana Rabbanan, we have a Braisa, Ketzer Seder Mishnah. How was Torah taught? How was Torah taught? So the Gemara says, Moshe Lama Mipi Hagvur, Moshe Rabbeinu heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nichnas Aaron Vishinolai. Then Aaron came in and he taught it to him. Shinolai Moshe, Pirka, exactly what needed to be taught. Nistalik Aaron, Aaron walks out. Nistalik Aaron, Vyashav Lismal Moshe, and then he comes, he takes his seat next to Moshe. Now he's also a Rebbe, because now he's learned as well. Nichnas Uban of Aaron's children come in. Vishinolahem, and Moshe Rabbeinu teaches them. Moshe, Pirkan, Moshe is the teacher. Nistalko Banav, the children get up from sitting in front of him. So, Elazar, Yashav Liyamun, Moshe, Isamar, Lismal Aaron. So you have Elazar and Isamar, they're each taking a seat on the desk. Right? This is a spitz setup that's going on there. And Rabbi Huda says, no, La'olam Aaron Liyamun Moshe. So Aaron was always on the right of Moshe.
Nichnasu zakenim, there along come the zakenim, Mishinu lahem, Hashem teaches them. Mishinu lahem, Hashem teaches them. Then they get up. Nichnasu kolam, then everybody else comes in, Mishinu lahem, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to teach them their parak as well. Excellent. There's a character that's missing here. Who's missing from this whole maisa? Nu, Chevra? You can call
Yehoshua.
There you go. Yeah, so just so that you know, you can call out even if your screen is off. That's the klal that I have with my talmidim in school, is that you can shout out even if it's off. Yeshua is missing. Yeshua is missing, which means that we have two stories that are going on here. We have a story in Pirkei Avos, Moshe kibbutz Haram Misina Masarli Yeshua. And then we have a brisa of Kesa Seder Mishnah. How is the Torah transmitted? And instead of Yeshua as the primary recipient of the Torah, we have Aaron as the primary recipient of the Torah. And then Aaron's children as primary recipients of the Torah. And then the Zakenim as primary recipients of the Torah. Now, this whole story is very different from Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos tells us, Moshe gave it to Yeshua, Yeshua gave it to the Zakenim, Zakenim then give it to the Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im give it to Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. Now, you're going to tell me, of course, that's a historical progression. But Yeshua is still missing from the Mishnah from the Braisa in Erevin, and Aaron is still missing from the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And that doesn't even account for the fact that, as we noted before, that this whole story of Moshe Kibbutz Haram Misina Masarli Yeshua and only the Anshei Knesset were the ones that said three things. So just so that you know, the Maharal in his parish on Pirkei Avos, the Maharal's parish on Pirkei Avos is controversially named. What's it mean, controversially named? It is either called Derech Chaim or Derech HaChaim. So if you ever search for the Maharal's parish on Pirkei Avos, you have to know who's publishing it, because some people hold it's Derech Chaim and some people hold it's Derech HaChaim. So the Maharal lists 9 separate questions on the first mission in Pirkei Avos and spends like many, many, many pages dealing with that. And we're going to take a look at a little bit of the Maharal in a moment to understand what exactly is going on in this Mishnah. Because very clearly what this Mishnah is not teaching us is how Moshe taught Torah. That's aside from the fact, and just to list a couple of other conundrums, this Brisa says Moshe heard it me pi ha-gvura, versus the Mishnah that says Moshe kibbutz Torah mi Sinai. There's a lot of things to figure out here. What we're going to try and explain this evening is what exactly is going on in Pirkei Avos. And the thesis is the following, is that it is not the same thing that's going on in Erevin. There are two separate stories that are being taught, and both stories are essential. And as, please God, you will discover in the next little while, Rabbi Trump, how long is this Chabura? 4 hours, 5 hours? How long do we have?
We have usually about half an hour. Joel, we're on target.
Very good. So we'll set it quickly. So what we'll discover, please God, briefly and shortly, is that this saga of Moshe kibbutz Torah misinai Masarli Yeshua Yeshua Zakenim to the Nevi'im, that story is a different story. What we are talking about is a different Torah, and that's the Torah sneak peek that you're going to be thinking about a little bit, like Ba'omer. How does this all make any sense? What are we talking about here? So let's switch for a moment to the Maharal. The Maharal tells us the follows. The Maharal points out about the relationship between the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah and those that came before them, is that there is something that is changing here. There is a radical shift that is occurring from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah from the Nevi'im to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Because as you probably are all well aware, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah contained within them Nevi'im. There were Nevi'im in the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Anybody know who are the Nevi'im that were members of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah? No, it was in the daf yesterday. The last of the Nevi'im. Who are the last of the Nevi'im? So that's Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Right? Those are the last of the Nevi'im. So let's get to the point here. So he says, as follows. What is going on with the relationship between the Zakenim and the Nevi'im? And the Nevi'im to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So, Mesaper Gimel Dorm, here we go. He says the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, we'll say this outside very, very briefly, a little bit inside, a little bit outside. He says, Yesh l'chaladas, you should know, This is the, on the right-hand side of the page there. We'll zoom in. Yesh lecha ladas, that these three things that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah said were tikkun ha-Torah. They were the things that were designed to be mesakin the Torah, to fix up the Torah. Shahayu Anshei Knesset Gedolah roitin v'takin chisorin hadar b'Torah. They wanted to fix up what was missing in their generation, b'Torah, in Torah. V'atorah hi kolelas chukim v'mitzvot v'mishpatim. The Torah contains within it chukim, unknowable laws, or laws that we don't understand them, mitzvot, commandments, mishpatim, understandable laws. Asher Elohim kolim kol mitzvot shabbatara. This is included in all the things. That's the three things that they were talking about. Why are they talking about these three things? So the Maharal is probably the earliest source that connects the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah to the end of prophecy. Prophecy ends at the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. He makes that connection. Now, that connection is developed by the Vilna Gaon in his commentary to Seder Olam and in many, many places by Reb Tzadok HaKohen, Reb Tzadok of Lublin. The end of Nevuah and the beginning of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah go hand in hand. They are simultaneous events. How are these two things connected, and what do these two things have to do with each other? So the Gemara tells us later on in Maseches Yuma, for those that are following with the daf, that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah at some point in time realized that the Jewish people weren't doing well with this whole Avodah Zarah thing. And because they weren't doing so well with the Avodah Zarah thing, they were constantly failing in their attempt to eradicate Avodah Zarah. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah took upon themselves to ask Hashem to remove the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Did it work?
No.
So the Gemara says yes. The Gemara says Taka worked. The Gemara says that a petek came down from Shemayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim. A letter came from Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, fine, you want to get rid of the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah? It's gone. Which is why you will notice that throughout the second Beis HaMikdash, there's basically no Avodah Zarah going on. Nothing. The first Beis HaMikdash, all of the Nevi'im are screaming and shouting from the rooftops, stop being over there, Avodah Zarah. Second Beis HaMikdash, nothing. Nothing. Elio is standing on Har HaKarmel and saying, like, Chevra, either you're going to be Jewish or you're going to worship Baal. Choose, which one? Second Beis HaMikdash, none of that. None of that nonsense. There's no Avodah Zarah. But there's an immense price that is paid for that. The Gemara says that a lion of fire came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. A lion of fire. What's this lion of fire that came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the point that the Maharal explains here in Derech Chaim and that the Groh explains in Seder Olam is that that lion of fire was prophecy. Prophecy ends. Prophecy ends at the same time as Avodah Zarah ends. Rav Dessler writes about this in a number of places in Michlo Meliyo, but I'll say that the way that Murray Barabi and mine and Rabbi Trump's Rabbi Rav Lachman explained in the name of Rav Huttner, that what the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah did was they shifted the focus of Yiddishkeit from a pursuit of external truth to a pursuit of internal truth. People were no longer looking outside. They shifted that. They shifted the perspective of people looking for truth outside of themselves to looking for truth inside of themselves, which birthed two realities. Reality number one is that people were no longer looking for meaning in the world of Avodah Zarah, but it also meant that they weren't looking for meaning in the world of Nevuah. And the flip side of that is that this is also the dawn of natural sciences and Greek philosophy. People used to understand science in the realm of a massive machlokes going on between gods, right? A wind god and a rain god and a sun god. And all of a sudden, if you take a look at the gods of Greece, the gods of Greece are not talking about rain gods and sun gods. They're talking about personality gods. They're talking about gods that are much more humanized. It's the de-deification of the gods. So the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, through their activities, through their tefillah, what they achieved was the end of Nevuah and the end of Avodah Zarah and the birth of science and philosophy, what we today would call natural wisdom. All of that is happening at the same time. That is all what is going on at the beginning of the period of time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And it is this point that Pirkei Avos is addressing. It is the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah as the launching point of a new era, a new epoch in Jewish history, the end of prophecy, which means it's the beginning of something else. And it is that something else that we need to understand. Because that something else is addressed by the Ramchal. There is an awesome letter that the Ramchal writes to one of his Talmidim, one of his Talmidim Muvhakim, who is Rabbi Yishaya Boson. Rabbi Yishaya Boson, just for those of you that are interested in the history of it, Rabbi Yishaya Boson was the was one of the Talmidim Muvhakim, one of the primary students of the Ramchal. He was also the primary protector of the Ramchal when the Ramchal was like kicked out of the community for being too much of a Kabbalist. So he was the protector of the Ramchal, both financially and politically. Rabbi Yishaya Boson receives this letter from the Ramchal around this time of year. Actually, it was shortly after Pesach. Everybody's learning Pirkei Avos, and the Ramchal addresses to his Talmud, Rabbi Yishaya Boson, what is going on in Pirkei Avos. He says, what the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah did was not simply request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove Nevuah from the world, to remove Avodah Zarah from the world. The way that they did that, says the Ramchal, is they managed to achieve an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without being exposed to Hashem in a expressive way. Now this, of course, is based on, and we'll explain what this means, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah received their name Anshei Knesset HaGdolah because, the Gemara tells us, they were Ichziru Atar LeYoshna. They returned the crown to its former glory. What does it mean that they returned the crown to its former glory? They looked around and saw the Jewish people were in total disarray. They were in exile in Golis in Babylonia. The Nevi'im, say the Gemara, had stopped saying the words Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaHanora. God who is Gadol, they said, Gibor, he is strong, Nora, he is awesome, they stopped saying. They stopped saying the words, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, HaNora. They could not say, Hashem is a Gibor, Hashem is a Nora. What does it mean that Hashem is a Gibor? Hashem is very strong. Hashem is the culture of Hashem, the culture that Hashem put into the world, called the Jewish people, Malchus Yisrael, doesn't exist anymore. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Aye Gvur Esav. How can you say that Hashem is a Gibor? Aye Nora Sav, where is his Nora Ois? So, pop quiz, Chavra, what does Nora mean? What does Nora mean? I'll give you a clue. You say this in the Haggadah. The Haggadah says, V'moira Gadol, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, V'moira Gadol, what does Moira Gadol mean? Zu Gilo Shechina. This is the revelation of Hashem. That's what Moira means. Nora means the palpable, tangible perceptibility of Hashem. That you see Hashem's culture in the world and you feel him relevant. So the Nevi'im stopped saying, the Nevi'im and then Daniel stopped saying, Akel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora, they couldn't say it. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah returned the greatness of Hashem. They said, we can once again see Hashem in the world. How? How did they say we can once again see Hashem in the world? Says the Ramchal, we'll highlight this here for you guys for a moment. Says the Ramchal, we'll get a pointer here to follow along. He says, "V'hanavim harishonim, the Nevi'im hayu machzikin adayim mechilas gilui ponim. They were still wishing to see Hashem in a revealed way. Ma shahayu cholim, whatever they could do, they just desperately wanted to see Hashem in a revealed way. They were desperately holding on to Hashem. We know we're in Golos, and we know that there's no Shechina, and we know that we cannot see you palpably in the world." Please, Hashem, we still want to be Nevi'im. We still want to see you as tangibly and really as we possibly can. How matzliach were they in doing this? Very poor. Very, very, oh, sorry, the lights go off automatically, so we need a record for Vayihi Or. There we go. So The Nevi'im were desperate. They were saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, we still want to see you. We are not happy to accept anything other than you speaking to us directly. We need to see you directly. But in order to be a Navi, and now's not the time to take a look at it, but if you see in the Rambam writes that to be a Navi is not a small thing. To be a Navi, you have to be like tremendously well-versed in all of Chachmas HaTorah. You have to be an awesome Talmud Chacham, in total emotional control, physically strong and healthy, and emotionally strong and healthy. It's a hard thing to be a Navi. And the Nevi'im was shouting, Ribbono Shel Olam, we still want to be Nevi'im. We still want to be Nevi'im. Aval k'shebao Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, when Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came, as iskimu, then they agreed. They decided, shelo lishtamish oyim chinas hagilui klal, that they were no longer going to look for Hashem in a revealed way at all. They changed the curriculum. Elo b'chinas hester panim, they were going to find Hashem in a hidden world. Then they were going to find Hashem with, in all of his details, find where Hashem is still a gibor, where Hashem is still a nora, and they found that Hashem was still a gibor and that he was still a nora by saying, wow, the Ribbono Shel Olam is still great in that the Jewish people have survived. Kivsa achas bein shiva ze'evim, there's one shepherd, one little sheep among 70 wolves, and we're still alive and well. That's what it means that Hashem is amazing, that he's still there, he's still prevalent. What that means is, says the Ramchal, and Rav Cook elucidates on this to great detail, that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah actively changed the syllabus. They changed the curriculum. They chose to no longer engage in Nevuah. Because, and this is how Rav Cook explains it, this was the radical shift. They chose to no longer engage in Nevuah because the Nevi'im were unable to prevent people from being over the Avodah Zarah. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And the way that Rav Kook explains this in this beautiful essay of Chacham Adav Minavi, like the Gemara says, that a Chacham is better than a Navi. In what way is a Chacham better than a Navi? So he says that the Chachamim, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, achieved what the Nevi'im could not, which is to give people detailed examples of how to live their lives such that they could no longer be over the Avodah Zarah. And the way that Rav Kook explains it, we'll say it outside because it's amazing and very beautiful. There are two ways of getting, you have a kid, you want to educate them in the right way. You can either say to them, kid, think of the amazing things that you're going to become. Think of the great dreams and visions of what you're going to be in life. And because of all of that, of course you're going to go and do the right thing in life. It's a vision of immense beauty and poetry and art, and it's abstract and it's gorgeous. And the kid is like wooed away by this majestic understanding of who they're going to become. And so they work very hard in all the details of their life to figure out, this is what I should do and this is what I shouldn't do. This is like we say in Shir Hashirim, Mashcheni Acharecha Narutza. Just running to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Oh, I just want to be connected to Hashem. I just want to be related. So, of course, how could you be an Oved Avodah Zarah with that great vision, with that great understanding of what Hashem is? That's option A. That's the ideal. But Rahman al-Islam, you take somebody that's like down in the dirt and you say to them, look at that amazing vision of what you could become. Look at that amazing vision. And he says, you know, Abba, Mommy, Tati, Rebbe, psychologist, psychiatrist, I understand that you want me to become something amazing. I don't even know how to get out of bed in the morning. I don't know how to do this. I don't know Aleph Beis. I have no idea how to start becoming that great vision and dream of a person you want me to become. What that person needs is not the big dreams and visions. They need the prate pratim, the details of how to live a meaningful life, step by step, step by step. Like sometimes you have to say to somebody, the first thing that you have to do is put the right leg out of bed and then the left leg out of bed and then sit up and then stand up. That's very different from like giving somebody a vision and saying, run with it. Sometimes people need the details. So Rav Kook explains that Chacham Adav Minavi, that the Chachamim, the Chachmei HaTalmud, the Chachmei HaMishnah, the Chachmei of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, that brought the great vision of Nevuah, they said, we're not going to engage in that anymore. We're not going to talk about visions and dreams any longer. What we are going to do is tell you the details of how to live your life. This is called details of how to live your life. When do you say Shema? Now, you ask a Navi when to say Shema. When does a Navi say Shema? When you say Shema, you say the evening Shema when you realize that the emuna that you have in Hashem as the sun is setting is now a different kind of emuna that you're going to realize of Hashem in the daytime. It can only be expressed in a Kriya Shema. That's Me'emes Hashma and Karnes Hashma Ba'arvis if you're a Navi. But if you're a Jew living in the dregs of Persia, you've never seen a Beis Hamikdash, you need to know, I don't live in that world, you know, Rabbi Navi. I need to know, what does God want from me so that I don't end up worshipping whatever, Marduk? So, yeah, what's the din? What time of it is? Like, what time of that? I need to know the details. So Rav Kook explains that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah made a decision that we will no longer make Nevuah part of the curriculum. That's not what's going on here any longer. We are no longer engaging in Nevuah as a primary educational methodology because it's not working. If you tell people that they need to dream of amazing lofty visions, you're going to lose them because they don't know the details. We need to radically shift the educational system to knowing what to do on a day-to-day basis. Have a Shulchan Aruch. That's called the Mishnah. You need to know what the din is. And that is what Rabbi Yehuda Anasi achieved at the end of the Mishnah period, Shisha Sidri Mishnah. But Chas v'chalila, to lose out on the great dreams of what we can do and what we can be. There's a great dream of what we can do and what we can be. And without Nevuah being a drive and a striving of the Jewish people, we're going to lose it. We're not going to have that any longer. What's going to happen to the Jew that just lives a life of Shulchan Aruch, and doesn't have dreams and doesn't have visions and doesn't have like deep desires of Ruchnius and Kirvas Elikus, and doesn't really understand how all of these different details of their life are going to transform them into another human being, are going to make them a transcendent person? What's going to happen to that person? Rachman al-Litzlan, you're going to end up with a nation of robots. That's a bad thing. Halacha, just as dry bones halacha, we've seen what happens to generations of people that all that they learn is just these are the details of the din. Chalila, how could it be? That's not what a life is about. So the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah also insisted upon a new mahalach, that the great dreams and visions of Yiddishkeit will no longer be derived top down from Nevuah. They will be driven bottom up through Limud HaTorah, but a unique perspective of Limud HaTorah. And this is a gra. This is a gra that Marina Rabin Reb Lachman pointed out to me a number of times. It's a gra at the end of the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos. The gra notes that the end of the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos is the end of Pirkei Avos. And there is, the gra explains that there is a misprint. In the middle of the parak, it says, Have az kanamar v'gibur ka'ari. And then it says, Yiratzen shi'i. Yibana Beis HaMikdash, we have a tefillah that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt in the middle there. The Gra says that belongs at the end of the parak, which is really the end of Pirkei Avos. The sixth parak of Pirkei Avos is Brises, so that we'd have 6 weeks between Pesach and Shavuos. What is this tefillah, says the Gra? Why are we davening at the end of Pirkei Avos that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt? Says the Vilna Gaon, we'll zoom in here. He says like this, why are we davening for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt? He says, "V'chein b'sev Maseches Tamid." This tefillah is also at the end of Maseches Tamid. V'kan, and here, "Lefi shekan hu klal haTorah." This is the klal haTorah. What's klal haTorah? Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. And then he explains that there's no such thing as klal haTorah without a Beis HaMikdash. But what does these words klal haTorah mean? Klal haTorah is used once by the Rambam. The Rambam writes, in the ninth parak of Hilchas Malachim Umilchamaseihim, and in the interest of time, I'll leave it to you to look this up. The Rambam says that there are seven mitzvahs that Noach was instructed in. But really, aside from Eivir Min HaChai, the prohibition of eating a limb from a live animal, six of those mitzvahs were given to Adam HaRishon. How do I know that, says the Rambam? Umichlal Divrei HaTorah. I know that from Klal Divrei HaTorah. Doesn't give a source. Now, it happens to be that there's a Medrash Rabba that supports that. It seems to be that the Rambam didn't have that. He says, Miklal Divrei HaTorah. What's Pshan Klal Divrei HaTorah? What the Rambam is saying is, if you know Kol HaTorah Kula, like I know Kol HaTorah Kula, you will know that these six mitzvahs were given to Adam HaRishon. You'll get it. That's Klal HaTorah. It means the thing that you know when you know everything. It means what arises from knowing Zorei Moed, Nashim Nizik, and Kochim Taras. It means you know Shisha Sidra Mishnah. You know all of Talmud Bavli and Yerushalm. You know all of that. So now you can start to think, well, once I've coalesced all of that into my understanding of the world, so now I can have an educated opinion on something that is not explicit in those places. Because now I understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. I understand what Hashem wants from me in my world of agriculture because I've learned Zerayim. And I know what Hashem thinks about time because I've learned Moed. And I know what Hashem thinks about marriage because and family relationships because I've learned Nashim. And I know what Hashem thinks about business because I've learned Nezikim. And I know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks about the world of Kedusha and the Beis HaMikdash because I've learned Kachim. And I know what Hashem thinks about social distancing and coronavirus because I've learned Taras. That's all the halachas of Taras. It teaches us social distancing and being in the same room and who passed on what to who, right? That's all in Taras. I've learned all of these things. So now I have an educated understanding of Klal HaTorah. And here's the gorgeous part. Because the end of this tefillah is V'sin chalkenu b'sarasecha Hashem, you should give me my part in Torah. Give me my part in Torah. That, my dear friends, is Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos is each person in the absence of prophecy coalescing the entirety of Torah into how does Torah speak to me and through me? That's Pirkei Avos. The Anshe Knesset HaGedolah invented a new way of discovering Klal HaTorah. It's no longer going to be prophecy. It's not going to be top down. It's not going to be, oh my gosh, there's a great dream of what kind of person to be. The Anshe Knesset HaGedolah said, from everything that we have learned in Torah, the world stands on three things. That's what they learned from Klal HaTorah. It's not a din in the Torah. It's not, this is the halacha. And so coming back to our original question, we said, what's going on between Pirkei Avos and the Mishnah and the Braisa in Irvin? Pirkei Avos is telling you not the Masorah of Halacha. It's not telling you Moshe Kibbal Torah Misinai. Uchsav Samal Mazos V'Isecha V'Sharecha means that you're going to write with black ink on parchment and put it on the right hand side of your doorpost. Moshe Kibbal Torah Misinai Masorah LeYeshua means Moshe Kibbal Torah Misinai. Moshe received the Torah, the Klal HaTorah, the vision of Torah, the values of Torah. What Torah should turn us into. He gave that to Yeshua. And Yeshua gave that to the Zakenim. And the Zakenim gave that to the Nevi'im. And the Nevi'im gave that to the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. And the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah said, we can no longer receive it in the same way. Now we need to, in general, now we need to find it from the world of Talmud Torah. And we can. And here's a couple of examples. Take a look at the next couple of Prakim and Pirkei Avos, how each and every one of these great Tanaim found Klal HaTorah, found what they would have achieved through Nevuah instead through Limud HaTorah. That's where the great dreams and visions of Torah, Mashchin Yacharecha, Narutza, comes from. It now comes from the coalescence of the Pirkei Halachas. That's the secret of Pirkei Avos. That's what Pirkei Avos is doing. And that ultimately is why we're doing it between Pesach and Shavuos. Because what we are preparing ourselves to receive and to achieve is not just dinim. It's Klal HaTorah. Please, God, Hashem should help us. We should be zoche to understand this, to learn this, to inculcate it into our lives. And thank you for inviting me.
Shkayach, thank you. That was excellent.
Yashakayach.
Everybody, a beautiful rest of Sfiras HaOmer. We should get to Lag BaOmer with a tremendous simcha, and we should get to Kabbalah Satara to really be makabel.
Thank you, amazing. Thank you.
Thank you for making me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. You're welcome to reach. This is just the beginning.
Thank you for being here.
Enjoy, Rabbi.
Have a good Shabbos.
Amen. Everybody should have a beautiful Shabbos. Rock on. Enjoy.